you were going to tell me something about the museum before we continue.
Okay. The building that the museum is in is a replica of Colonel Oh. home.
Oh, uh-huh.
And the museum is historical. Everything in it is something which pertains to somebody here in Coleman County. So we think it's just the greatest thing that has happened to us. The COVRI, this Federated Club that I belong to, we had been the instigators of a museum in several rooms of one of the city buildings for the centennial. And then when the centennial was over, this was in 1973, we said, well, we just must have a permanent home because we just got to, you know, keep this thing. Everybody was so excited about the past. And so then the Chamber of Commerce needed a home. So the Chamber of Commerce's offices are on the top floor. And then the museum is on the main floor. Mm-hmm. And then there's a civic meeting room in the basement, which makes it very, as I told someone, Colonel Coleman was such a believer in the practicality of things. Mm-hmm. And so that building is really practical because it houses so many different faces.
I'm sure he would approve of that.
He would. Oh, he would be very pleased, I'm sure.
Well, why don't you tell me about your book, too, for the tape?
Well, it is Beyond Tomorrow. And
for the tape, this is the novel that you have published.
Yes. Well, the central character is Laurel, who comes to North Alabama from South Alabama to teach school in the country school. And she lives here. She falls in love and gets married and lives in this area. Mm-hmm. Now, I do not say she lives in Coleman, Alabama. Mm-hmm. She lives in Mountain City. It's a mythological city, see? Mountain City.
There is a mountain city somewhere. Is there Tennessee? There's a mountain city?
I guess there's not one in Alabama. Mm-hmm. She lives in Mountain City, and it is south of Decatur and north of Birmingham, mm-hmm. and 40 miles from the Huntsville Airport. Mm-hmm. So you see, you can sort of guess where Mountain City really is. But all the characters are fictitious. But I do plan it so that everything that was happening to people in this area during the period of the book mm-hmm. Happened to her. Mm-hmm. And her reaction, was that of, she came at 19 in 1903, and then she had a daughter. And her reaction and the things that happened during her age were quite different. Mm-hmm. And then she had, an adopted child, another child that she reared, we'll say granddaughter, she was really not, but granddaughter, but she was the granddaughter age that she would have. And then her attitudes mm-hmm. toward what was happening mm-hmm. contrasted to Laurel's, and that was a conflict because the generation gap, mm-hmm. you see. But I was real pleased at the compliments I have had, and several people have mentioned two or three little ways that I would bring in a flashback that they thought it was different to anybody that they had read, and I was pleased with that. And so many people told me who had read my newspaper writings, you know, for all the said, I would have picked that up and known that you were the one writing that, that it sounded just like you.
Okay, well, that's good. You've got a consistent style. Well, it's changing the subject to get back to the crops. But I was about to ask you if you had a name for a crop that had not been planted but came up anyway. Maybe tomato or something.
Oh, yes. Volunteer. Mm-hmm. Volunteer.
Okay, and wheat is tied up into a